The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, everyone. I'm excited to have everyone back here on the show, but I'm even more excited to have our guest on today. She is the founder of Freestyle Capital, Miss Melanie McDaniel. How are you, Melanie?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on. I very much appreciate your time. I know you're incredibly busy. You're out doing a bunch of different things. For those that maybe don't know who you are, haven't run into you out in the world here as we get back into the actually traveling and things, would you mind telling our audience a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days, and how you got into real estate?
Of course. I'm from Utah originally, but at 17, I was done with whatever culture said life was, high school, whatever. I joined the military. I picked the Navy because I knew if I joined the Navy, I had the best opportunity to travel. So my first duty station was in Italy. So that worked out for me. After the military, I ended up going into, I dabbled around in some, I was like a co-pilot on a submarine in Waikiki. So travel, it was a big piece of my life. My bachelor's degree is actually in travel administration. So I was trying to find this career in travel, but I also felt like I was wasting time. I ended up becoming a park ranger for the National Park Service. So I did law enforcement for 9 years as a park ranger. 2015, somehow, I don't even know how the book got in my hands, but I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So like most of the people out there, you read that and you can't unread that. Like you can't unknow that. So from 2015 to 2017, I spent a lot of time listening to podcasts, Bigger Pockets, of course, reading tons of books, doing conferences. I did the Rich Dad, Poor Dad training program and did all their, all of that. And the biggest piece that I had to work on was my mindset, because I was raised to, you know, go to school, get good grades, go to college, get a job, and get a job with a pension, preferably, because my dad, had worked for the state of Utah. And he, you know, thought, you know, the federal career and having a pension was like the best thing ever. So yeah, when I left that career, he pretty much told me I was dumb, but whatever. By 2017, I became a real estate agent. I moved states and it was the stepping stone while I was still trying to figure out what my investment strategy was going to be. And I dabbled in a few things, which one of them we'll talk about today. And I learned about apartment investing, scale, the professionalism of being at those numbers. And I mean, if you're borrowing millions of dollars, you know, there's a lot of vetting to be done by lenders and stuff. I'm like, well, maybe if I go that route and I partner with professionals, maybe I won't have the hiccups I had with what we'll talk about today. So that's kind of my story now. I have a 24 unit with partners. I'm an LP and a 276 unit. I'm working on my first capital raise right now. I identify as a capital raiser because I determined that I don't love underwriting. I definitely don't like acquisitions, and don't make me an operator because I'm also nomadic and I live nowhere. So I work from a computer mostly. I literally live nowhere. At the moment I'm staying in Boise. Well, at the very moment I'm in Austin, but because I was touring a property, but I've been in Boise for a month. I'll be there for a couple more months and then leave. But anyway, maybe we'll get into more of that during our chat. But yeah, so apartments all in for me and other commercial real estate, but mostly as a capital raiser.
Perfect. I love it. And first and foremost, thank you for your service. It's incredible. I love hearing the backgrounds of everyone because everyone has slightly unique background and brings all kinds of different experience. I love the world travels or just traveling around in general. Incredibly jealous of that. I can't wait to finally start get back to doing a little bit of that here coming soon. You mentioned it during a little bit about yourself. It hasn't always been easy. I know we were talking a little bit before we hit record. You got a pretty compelling story, but would you mind telling our audience a little bit about some of the experience that you learned from that helped you to kind of grow to where you're at today in your career?
Yeah. So before I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and then the time after that, you know, learning about real estate, I had zero knowledge of real estate. I have no history, no one in my family, no one, I don't know anybody that was in real estate. So it was brand new to me. So of course I was drinking from a fire hose, listening to podcasts, and I couldn't think past like a door or two. The concept of a burr or house hacking was new, but amazing, made complete sense. So my first investment, I used a self-directed retirement account to buy a house in cash in St. Louis, Missouri. because it was like $45,000. I mean, that's cheap, right? That's a cheap house. And I think I got $800 in rent or something. And so that made a ton of sense. Lots of cash flow for my retirement account, which is what I would be after in a retirement account, and no leverage. So anyway, I had come across this house from a referral. Initially, the referral, he's a fund manager that found me on BiggerPockets. And then he, because I wasn't accredited, couldn't put me in his fund. So he kind of introduced me to this guy who had these houses. And he's kind of a one-off guy, just does it on his own, not a big business or anything. Talked to him, liked him. He had a house, I think it was in his own portfolio or something. I'm not sure, that he was selling. It was already occupied, and he would transfer it to me. So anyway, doing the due diligence, couldn't get into the house. I've never gone to Missouri to see this place. I've never stepped foot on it. The best thing I ever did was a Google drive by, right? So getting on Google Maps and walking by the house virtually. But he did take me to the house and toured me virtually, and the tenants were home. And this kind of starts into what I want to share today, like the learning lesson of the vetting and the gut feeling. Like if something doesn't feel right, it's not. If your gut tells you, meh, probably isn't a good idea, or there are these things that just aren't adding up, just trust that. But what I always do, and I have not, even this did not teach me my lesson fully, because I'm now in the same position again with a totally different type of investment, but it was the person, you know, this person had been referred to me. We'd had a number of phone calls. We'd spent time, and you'd start liking a person. So he's showing me this house. I had already kind of committed. He didn't take an EMD because he's like, I just trust you, sort of a thing. And then I felt this obligation that I couldn't just be like, nah, never mind, I don't like this one. But what I didn't like about this one is the house was really messy. There were a lot more people there than were on the lease. The whole feeling, I didn't feel like they were taking care of the house. Had a inspection of the house, you know, roof, like stuff like that. And the guy that was bringing the deal to me was happy to make whatever repairs I asked for. So there was nothing major with the house and the systems of the house. I just, for some reason, it didn't sit, the tenants and that situation didn't sit well with me. So I closed the house. I bought it against my gut and against, you know, what I really felt, because I liked the person, trusted the person. I did interview the property management company. They seemed like they would be, they were good and helpful. And I kind of asked her what she thought of the tenants, because she had just taken over the tenants, I think. So she inherited them. She didn't say anything bad about the tenants, but she didn't also say anything good about the tenants. And again, another one of these gut feelings when I was talking to her, it just wasn't adding up then either. I could sense that she was, because she had worked with this other guy so much, she didn't want to necessarily say any bad things about the tenants because she wanted his deal to go through or something. So again, another point where I should have just trusted my gut and been like, yeah, I don't know. The property manager doesn't seem too excited. So anyway, I bought the house, and they paid rent, not always on time, but I was kind of prepped for that, because when they get their checks or whatever, it was always a little bit late. But yeah, I think I got about 8 months of rent, and then all of a sudden, no rent. No rent, no rent. I think 3 months went by, and I'd called the property manager and asked what the status was. No one had gone over there because I don't know if it was the tenant landlord law. They tried to go do an inspection and no one was there, but they couldn't get in. They couldn't notify. Anyway, it was this long drawn out eviction process. And by the time they took over the house, I think it was another 4 months. The people had already left. Like when they stopped paying rent, they were probably gone. So the house was sitting vacant. Luckily, it wasn't summer, but the fridge had food in it, cockroaches. The power had been off because they hadn't paid the power bill. It was just disgusting. They left all the furniture there. I mean, it smelled horrible because all the dead food and everything in the house. So the house was pretty much destroyed. It cost me about $10,000 just to get the house back to a rentable condition. Couldn't find, like, the lawyer, you know, was like, well, you want to go after these people? It's going to cost you money, but, you know, you can't squeeze blood from a turnip, right? I don't even know if that's the right saying, but there's just no money to take. And even if you do get a judgment against them, was she work at McDonald's or is she just on food stamps or, you know, what? So overall, I just didn't want to go through that again. And I called my original guy. I said, hey, this house sucks. The tenants are gone. I want out. Find me a buyer. And he happily, because he felt bad. I think he kind of knew what the situation was too. And so I think he felt bad. He found a buyer. He didn't take any fee. I mean, maybe he took $1,000 or something, but not his normal fee would have taken as like a deal guy. But yeah, he found me a new buyer and the property manager put in a tenant, which was her tenant. So because she inherited the last ones, I feel pretty confident that she is a good property manager. But yeah, so I sold it for basically what I paid, but I lost, you know, the 10 grand that it cost me to get the house put together. But honestly, when I closed, I couldn't wipe the smile off my face. It was the best 10 grand I ever spent to get that headache off of my plate. I think actually the reason I knew, besides them not paying rent, the reason I knew something was really a problem is the sewer bill that they were supposed to be paying came to me and it was like $600. I'm like, well, that's a problem. They've probably never paid the sewer bill. Anyway, the whole thing was a nightmare. So that is why I'm in apartments now, because I like the idea of a team. I want to work with people who have a track record, who are experienced, because I'm new to, well, I was new to that. So that was a huge learning lesson. But even in the apartment space, even though I've been doing this since early 2020, I'm still new. Like, you don't know what you don't know. And I think every deal, there's new stuff to learn too. So if you don't have years of experience, you just don't know what you don't know. So I'm not ignorant of that. So I would say I'm still new to the space. So I want to partner with people who have that experience, who have the track record, and just partner with them while I build my experience.
I love that. And that's a running theme that we hear on the show a lot, is finding strong partners to balance out things that maybe either you don't want to do, you're not good at, or you don't have the experience in, so that you do have a better team and can go forward and really do things successfully and maybe not have to find those stumbling blocks along the way. Maybe they've already found some of them and they can bring that to the table. You know, it's interesting thinking back to your story, that was your first real estate deal in general, correct?
There was another one that I was doing. It was a joint venture flip of a quad up in Washington State, but that one was still ongoing, which was also a nightmare as well. So it just took a lot longer for that nightmare to be over because it was out of my hands. I wasn't controlling that. It was a joint venture, but it wasn't joint, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
So for me in this little house, because it was mine, I could move it along much faster.
Well, even so, with the other one there, this one being yours and not having a ton of experience going in, you still had the intuition in the back of your head going, hey, something may be amiss here. And I think that's important for those that may be listening to think about, even if you don't have a ton of experience, whatever experience you bring to the table from, you know, previous work experience, life experience, whatever it is, that little nagging gut feeling back of your head, spidey sense, whatever you want to call it, you have that for a reason. Sometimes you need to listen to it or at least explore it further and take it a little bit further and look at that. You know, that's a challenging thing to do when it's just yourself and you don't have other things, other people to bounce ideas off of. But I think that's important to know, that you don't have to have 10,000 hours under your belt in real estate to trust your gut instincts and say, hey, something's amiss. Let's explore it further, or let's just pass on this opportunity and go look for something else. I think that's a valuable lesson.
Yeah, I actually think your gut instinct, I don't know if mine has ever been wrong. I mean, maybe not fully, maybe my little mind creates bigger stories or bigger problems than what the reality is, but there's always some level of intuition involved when you get a gut feeling. That doesn't come from nowhere. That doesn't just appear. There is always something to it. So there's a balance between your gut and being a good human and having relationships with people. And I find in myself, I give up me and my gut. I don't listen to my gut. I go with, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Oh, this emotional attachment. Oh, I made a promise or I said I was going to do something and now I want to back out. And that's just not who I am. So I am still to this day struggling with this. Trust your gut and just say no, or dealing with the emotions of the person. So I'm still struggling with that. And it's funny because the background in law enforcement, like we have, you know, you trust those gut instincts. It can save your life. So why in the heck is that not transferred into this world? Why am I so afraid to hurt someone's feelings? You know, because I said something, yeah, I'll do it. But I found these other things, or my gut's telling me no. Why can't I just listen to my intuition? I don't know. It's funny. It's a lifelong getting to know thyself, you know?
Sure. Well, and listen, we're the hardest critics on ourselves. And sometimes we put ourselves in situations that it's hard to get out of, just from, like you said, an emotional standpoint, that sometimes it's easier for us to say, well, I can just overlook this and avoid some of that emotional aspect of the perception of letting someone down, or, you know, backing out of a commitment or something like that. Most of us are raised not to do something. So I understand that's incredibly challenging for anybody, especially if you're new to an experience or new to a new career like this. So Melanie, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I think that's incredibly valuable for our audience to hear, you know, for anybody else that may be faced with similar challenges. Trust your gut, I think, is what we're walking away with today. Melanie, for those that maybe want to follow up with you, hear more about your experience, work with you in the future, where's the best place folks can find you and reach out to you?
Well, I'm on all social media. Pretty easy to find there. Either Freestyle Capital Group, just search for that, or Melanie McDaniel. Some are different, but my website is a great place to start because then all the links are there to social media. So freestylecapitalgroup.com. There is a free download there if people want to lay out their path to financial freedom. It's just a gift and a guide for people to just kind of back into their financial freedom number. And then I have an investor lounge, I call it the investor club, but investor lounge. If people are interested in investing, that's the first step, because that's where we start talking, learning more about them and if they're accredited, non-accredited, sophisticated, and all that stuff. So joining the investor lounge, or just visiting the website, downloading that free download, will get them like on the newsletter list. That would be the best place to find me. Or they can just email me direct, melanie@freestylecapitalgroup.com. I do want to build a business, a boutique business, where I know every individual that I deal with. I'm not trying to have thousands of people come through my pipeline and I don't know names. So they can just email me and we'll have a call too.
Perfect. I love it. And we'll put all that in the show notes to make it easy for everyone to find. Melanie, I can't thank you enough for coming on board today. Like I said at the top, I know you're incredibly busy. You got a lot going on. You're traveling, you're doing all that stuff. So we really appreciate you coming on board today.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks everyone for listening. We'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.